This is Oral History Interview Number 17 with Dr. Jerome S. Levy, a member of the Class of 1925 at Washington University. Dr. Levy, can you tell us of your family and your early childhood?
Well, my family that have knowledge of, as far as my grandparents are concerned, the only one I knew was my paternal grandmother, who was quite a person. She came to the States from Germany, in Baden-Baden, and married my grandfather, who was from near Warsaw and had been in the States several years. I'm not aware of the degree of education that either had as far as schooling is concerned, but I believe my grandmother was driven to high school education. I know nothing as regards my grandfather, my paternal grandfather. I never knew anything about my mother's mother. I might say that my paternal grandmother, who was living in Kentucky, she and her husband had moved to Kentucky, and my father and his brothers and sisters were born in Henderson, Kentucky, and they were very well known in their community. My grandmother lived to be 90, and in fact, the day before her 90th birthday, she walked down to the store and back in the morning and the evening, a mile and a half each way, which is pretty good for a 90-year-old, and had their 90th birthday dinner. And about 2 in the morning, she developed a lobar pneumonia and died by early afternoon that day. So it was one of these rapid affairs. But she was very alert, knowledgeable. One of the reasons she did this walking down to the store and back every day was to be able to meet with people, say hello to the friends and to the people who lived in the community. And she was up on everything. And in fact, when she was 88, a cousin of mine died when she was at Randolph-Macon. And I went from St. Louis down to be there that evening, the next day, funeral. And with all the excitement and the grief, grandmother took me out on the porch and said she wanted to talk to me a little. And she sat down and gave me a good talk in regard to my medical career and what I should do, how I should carry it on and all, which was very good for an 88-year-old individual under such circumstances. And that was the type of individual she was. And of course, my father and his siblings had inherited quite a bit of that from her and were able to carry on in a comparable manner. And as I said, I knew nothing about my mother's parents, but I did know some of her siblings who were of very kind, compassionate character, interested in other people and in doing things and were well thought of in their respective communities, and from whom I gathered some of the makeup, I think, and things that I have done. My father and mother were two people who were interested in the people of the community where we lived, were particularly interested in the work in the temple, mother being president of the Ladies Aid, or the Sisterhood as it's called, for 3 or 4 terms and on committees all the time. My father was interested in the management of the affairs of the congregation, and also after its formation was on the board of Levi Hospital in Hot Springs, not named for any of my family, but for one of the active men in the B'nai B'rith in New Orleans. But he was interested in this type of community. the affairs, and I think I got a lot of that influence from him as well as from mother. My mother's relatives were well thought of in their respective communities, and my cousins were very fortunate in selection of the people they married, and were two of them in particular well known internationally and all, so it gave me some solidity of feeling and the work that I would be doing at any time because of them. And I feel that I have a great heritage in the respect of the activities of my uncles and aunts on both sides of the family.
What was your schooling?
I attended the public schools in Hot Springs, Arkansas, including the Hot Springs High School. And from there, I went to Washington University for my academic work. I went ill and into school of medicine. I was very interested in the various things we did at the school, and I had a pretty good scholastic record. Valedictorian class, which I know it means anything or not, but if, at least the others were a very, very nice, intelligent group of youngsters too, so I don't know, it's just a little question of the selection.
What were your college extracurricular activities?
Most of my activities in college were on debating society, the organization of the Arkansas Club, and in the student government activities. I was on the student council and I made the senior honorary promise. This has been changed since that time, and most of my activities were in that field and have continued in that field for years.
Did you hold outside jobs during the summers?
When I was in school?
When you were in school.
No.
In high school or college?
No. Mm-hmm. Dad's idea was that I did enough work in the school year and that I was entitled to the vacation. Mm-hmm. I go home and play tennis and ride around. That sort of activity was in the summers.
How did you decide to enter medicine?
We moved from Kentucky, where I was born, to Hot Springs when I was 4 years old. We lived next door to a doctor. He was a very fine man. His family and our family were very good friends. And I was thinking at various times about his going out here to leave the house sometimes during the night. What he was he doing? He's going out to make someone feel better. Mm-hmm. And that gave me a rather sound impression. Mm-hmm. And at that time, and from that time on, gradually developed the recognition of the fact that man is divided into men to be of service to one another. And the idea appealed to me very much. And when I was about 5 years old, then after that first year, I decided I was going to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about being a policeman or a fireman, but I selected on being a doctor then.
What was your medical education like?
My medical education was here at Washington University.
Could you tell us something about the teachers you had here?
Yes, they have left a very strong imprint on me just as well as it did on all the rest of my class. I can mention a list of them, Bob Terry and Nanny, Joe Erlanger and physiology, B.A. Schaefer in physiological chemistry, and then there was Everett Grumman, surgeon. There was David Barr and Harry Alexander in medicine. Ernie Sachs, who must be mentioned with a great deal of admiration and respect. And Bob Elman, who came in the late years and was a very close friend of mine, and all the others in the classes at that time, because they were excellent teachers, and they promoted the idea. All of them had the basic idea that we had a patient with a disease, not a disease with a patient. That was hammered into us, and I think it is sort of a strong foundation that we've all had in the practice of medicine. And each of these men has left an imprint on each of us in our class. I think Sachs is mentioned more frequently by us than anyone, because he was a real taskmaster. But he was fair, he was square, and he insisted that we observe, we come to some conclusions or from the basis of history and our observation, and many, many stories could be told of him, but I don't think there's a single one of us who didn't cuss him on many occasions, but didn't love him because of what he did for us. That can be said of practically every one of the main members of our faculty during those years. And it's during those years that several of them were the men that had their, that came to have Nobel Prizes at the time. So they were really, really fine leaders and teachers. And I say they left an imprint, and I say they left an imprint upon a lot of those that I've taught too.
What department was Dr. Sachs in?
He was a neurological surgeon, and incidentally he was the first one to have a chair of neurological surgery established for him in the country. That was established here at Washington University for him.
Can you tell us about your internship?
Well, after graduation I did about 10 months of some research for Dr. Sachs before my internship at the Jewish Hospital began. And began, as I recall, just about the 1st of April of 26, moved to help move over from the old building on Delmar to what was then, quote, new, end quote, Jewish Hospital. Now, after you see it, no, it's not new anymore. Far from it. In spite of all the construction going on. And then I had my internship there, and followed with the second year of internship at the Missouri Pacific, and a third as a resident from Missouri Pacific, and then I went on to practice in Little Rock.
How did you decide on your specialties?
Well, I had decided from Sachs' influence, I almost went to neurological surgery, but I thought that I wasn't of the temperament to withstand all the difficulties of that field, and had close contact with Joe Lammore in the gastrointestinal field, and that influenced me a great deal, and I decided to go into the gastrointestinal work. My one thing I think and might be of little interest in my schooling and my selection of Washington University as the school to which I wanted to go for the medical education, was that when we were on a visit, I wasn't in high school yet, to Henderson, Kentucky, where my grandparents lived, my grandmother lived rather, we met with a very good friend of the family's, and see, oh, you're going to go into medicine. Well, I'm going to ask my brother and see what he would recommend, since you're not certain about your school. My brother was Abe Flexner of the Rockefeller Foundation, and so he wrote back and said that by the time I was ready, Washington University School of Medicine would be one of the finest schools, not only in the country, but in the world, and he suggests that I make my plans to attend Washington University. And so I did. So that's one of the things I'd like to point out, that a reflection of those of that ilk thought of Washington University. And I'm glad to say that they still do, whoever is in that quality of work. And I went on to gastroenterology and studying it and working on it. And so it really was essentially 3 years of association with Larimore, the two with the Missouri Pacific being very close, and the work was done, so that made me decide on gastroenterology, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Did you go to Little Rock right after your residency?
Yes.
And have you?
September 16th, 1929. Mm-hmm. I remember that September 16th day, because that was when some of the effects of the big crash hit Little Rock and closed one of the banks, and I just said that's a big memory.
Could you tell us about your teaching in Little Rock?
Yes, when I went to Little Rock, I had spoken to Dr. Barr, and about one of the reasons, one of the reasons I went to Little Rock instead of going back to Hot Springs, my home to practice, was because the University of Arkansas School of Medicine was there, and I felt that I would like to do some work in teaching. So I went there and saw Dr. Vincent Hale, who was dean of the school, with letters of recommendation from Dr. Barr, with whom I talked about it, and letters from Dr. Graham and Dr. Sachs. And so I was immediately appointed an instructor in medicine, and we gave about 12 hours a week in the clinic, and in addition to a lecture, and that lasted for several years when I became assistant and associate and then professor of medicine. I have the title of clinical professor of medicine, and I started and established, you might say, the basis for the development of the teaching of gastroenterology there at the school, and I'm being given credit for having established the department. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this then until the war years. Then when I came back after the war, I went on the, Jester gave a Thursday afternoon 2-hour course, and carrying out some of the instruction, the techniques that Ernie Sachs used in teaching the students, the juniors in medicine, to get a good history and do a good physical and to look and observe. Great deal of fun of it. I guess over the years, recently estimated their school that I've taught about 3,400 doctors in these years. Some of them I left an imprint on, some I didn't, of course. That's natural. And I'm the clinical professor of medicine there now. I'm glad to say they just established the Jerome Sickles lead the annual lecture in gastroenterology, so we have someone. This is the second one, and they are establishing a chair in gastroenterology, Jerome S. Levy professorship in gastroenterology, when they raise the money for it.
Have you been able to find time, Dr. Levy, in your busy schedule to do any writing?
Yes, I have made a few contributions to the literature. When I first went to Little Rock, I became interested in the irritable colon picture and wrote an article on that and gave a talk at the State Society meeting. Then I've written other articles on functional disturbances of the digestive tract. Did a little work with Thelman before I left St. Louis and use of amino acids, and carried that through in Little Rock, but the main work we had done already, the basic work, wrote a paper on the value and the buffering capacity of the amino acids in treating patients with ulcerative stomach. We remember one patient who didn't have an ulcer, but it had a low albumin content and much fluid in the abdomen and all, and I told him that this could help. He had a low albumin in the blood, and told him that I wanted to give this food. It really was a food, but it is a special type. It didn't taste good, but it sure made him feel good, so he was willing to do it. And after the third day, his serum albumin was up to normal. He got rid of practically all the fluid. And this little black man said to me, "That's the best bag made of soup I've ever tasted." And it was done some good. So that's the humor that you get out of even the research work you do it from time to time. And at the present time, I'm analyzing all the cases that I've seen of ulcerative colitis in my 50 years of practice, and want to give this as a report. I was just given it at the international meeting in Buenos Aires a year ago, but I wasn't able to complete it at the time, so I didn't realize how much there was investigating the cases and follow-up of the cases, so I'm not quite through with my following up and checking up on the patients, so it has to be another year or two before I get the material all together and write, but these things take time. That's been the main, I guess I've got 18 to 20 papers that I've written on these various GI subjects.
Would you like to say anything more about your clinical treatment of patients in your practice? What type of cases, for example, have you specialized in?
Well, I've been doing mostly gastroenterology. I would say that 90 to 95% of the patient load is in gastrological problems. And after all these years of practice, however, I don't care what happened to any of the patients, I have to see them and tell them what specialist to go to, or they won't go, because that's just the way the people have developed a dependence upon someone who's shown an interest in them. And as I said, one of the main things that we have taught is that you have a patient who has the disease, when I talk to the students, as I've said earlier, and not a disease who has the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding the patient, working with the patient, and getting their feeling that you, the doctor, is interested in them, program which I try to emphasize to the students, and that makes these patients feel that you are really interested in the thing that they do. They follow instructions. Otherwise, they go to another doctor and another until someone comes and shows them that the doctor is interested in them, and then the patients are willing to follow through any rigid diet or restrictions or anything that one does.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a great deal of the satisfaction that one gets in the practice of medicine, that feeling that one has accomplished something for someone else. And it is really a refreshing feeling to one, and I enjoy that aspect of it.
Dr. Levy, will you tell us about the professional organizations, which ones you belong to and how you have participated?
Yes, of course, we'll start at our local Pulaski County, Arkansas Medical Society, which is our local county society, and which is a member of the Arkansas State Medical Society. I've been the president of the local society, that is Pulaski County one, and it was just at that time we put over our polio immunization campaign, and was that 57, I believe, or 57, 8 or 9, one of those, I think it's 57, and I'm glad to say we adopted it as a statewide program. We haven't had a case of poliomyelitis in the state of Arkansas since, except someone who came in from outside the state, and that's been a great satisfaction to all of us in the medical society. Of course, belong to the State Medical Society. There's Arkansas State Medical Society, and it's I've been its first vice president one time, but I've been wanting to bank and just had that position. I've been on committees. One of the interesting committees of the State Medical Society was the Committee on Medicine and Religion. I was chairman of it for 2 years, and it was very, very interesting work, and we associated with some of the ministers of the state, and I think it was quite really rewarding. I enjoyed it very much. Of course, I belonged to the American Medical Association. For years, I belonged to the Southern Medical Association. I was chairman of the section on gastroenterology on two different occasions over the years, and I belonged to the American Gastroenterological Association and the American College of Gastroenterology. I'm a lifetime member of them. It's been many, many years that I've been a member of each of these. I'm a member of the American College of Physicians, and for 9 years I was governor for Arkansas for the college. Let me put a note in here that governor for Arkansas for the college is a whole lot different than being governor of Arkansas, so you've got to watch that preface. one of another organizations I belong to, the Maybrith. I'm on the board, the executive administrative board, I should say, the American Jewish Committee, which is interested in the protection of the rights all over. And I'm a member of the administrative board of the Southwest region of the American Jewish Committee. And while these are not medical associations, we are interested in the civil rights and in the, and really the rights and all of all who are. It's really the rights of those who are underprivileged. It began in 1905, if I recall correctly, with an interest of the five prominent Jewish men in New York City to protect the Jews of Russia, if they could, if who were under the recipients of Pope, if you want to call it that, of the Pope one, and which has grown into terrific proportions and has done very fine jobs throughout the years over protecting these particular rights of the individuals. That's all we can see.
Dr. Levy, could you tell us something about your other interests?
Well, yes. I mentioned about the American Jewish Committee, which is a very vital interest of mine. I'm also on the administrative board of the Levi Memorial, Leo and Levi Memorial Hospital in Hot Springs. It was established in 1917 in honor of Leo Levi of New Orleans, who was a very active B'nai B'rith man, and the independent order of B'nai B'rith, IOBB, established this hospital in Hot Springs for the sole purpose of treating arthritics. Hot Springs, of course, are well known for its management and treatment of arthritis. My father was a member of the first board. On his death, I was elected to take his place, so he and I have been on the board ever since it was founded, and it's an administrative part, and I don't do any treatment or see any patients or anyone over there. It's a wonderful institution. It's a non-profitable, charitable institution, and in the years of the past, before insurance, Medicare, and Medipack, there were no charges made. People came and they were able to pay anything. They would give a contribution, but there wasn't any particular charge. And that has continued, except that the insurance, Medicare, and Medipack will pay a certain amount of the charges, and that they have set those up as what they pay for hospital care. And it's been doing very well. Other, as far as the personal hobby is concerned, the one which I have neglected too much from the extent, but which I still am quite interested in photography. And I have, I guess, close to, well, certainly over 3,000 negatives of films taken on, and, during my Army service and on trips here and there in the world, and one trip around the world that I took. I didn't mention the World Congress of Gastroenterology when I was talking about the organization which I belong, and I have been a member of that since it was founded. The first one meeting was in Washington, D.C., and the Fifth World Congress meets every 4 years, was held in Mexico City this last October. So I've attended about every other one instead of every one. And it's been a very fine organization meeting people. That might say might be cause a hobby, although it's a professional one. And going back to photography, I have some, as I say, a lot of film. And I said it probably on my, quote, retirement, end quote, that I'm going to do a lot of printing, making pictures and all of that. I've been asked to have an exhibit at the Art Center in Little Rock for that, but I haven't gotten around to doing it yet, with pictures made.
When did you serve in the Army?
I was in the Army for 51 months, I think it was. I went in June of 42 and came out in, let's see, it was in March of 46.
Where did you serve and what type of work were you doing?
I reported for duty at Beaumont General in El Paso, and then was sent to Bushnell General in Brigham City, just 55 miles north of Salt Lake City, and was in charge of the gastrointestinal service there, and for a couple of years, and was transferred from there to Lanham General, the hospital that they took up on Pacific Avenue, and then from there I was sent to Fiji, and was in Nandi, that's M-A-D-I, Fiji, and from there, after 8 months, I was transferred to Seoul, Korea, and was there for several months and discharged there after home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing gastroenterology all the time there, except that I was the surgeon, so-called, at Fiji, which was the administrative work.
Dr. Levy, you mentioned something about your retirement. Are you working less now than you did in the past?
I would like to think that I am, but I'm actually not. People won't let me do so. I mean, I've been trying to lessen the number of patients seen per day, but so many drop in their LHS emergency, which could have waited 6 months as a general rule. But you never know until you see the patients. So I don't quite get as much relaxation as I would like to have. Stop. I might say, however, that it is true. I get a minimum of night work. I make very few house calls, and only that to some patients that are very close friends. Because I can't do anything at home. The patient calls some need, I send them on to the emergency room at the hospital at night, and they report back to me, and occasionally I have to go and see them. Most of the time, the one on duty in the emergency room can take care of them. And I may go 2 or 3 months without a night call, and then may have 6 in 1 night, but the thing is that there is some lightening of the load, and some of them have given up certain types of things, and not going to other, like the colonoscopic work. I'm not going into any of that. I'm doing the gastroscopies and esophagoscopies, so I'm not doing the other end, except the sigmoids, but that, anyway, I've been able to schedule my work a little bit better, yet they keep me busy all day. It is not what would be called beginning retirement.
Dr. Levy, I understand that you've been a class secretary of the medical school class since its graduation in 1925. Can you tell us something about your experiences as class secretary and about the other members of the class?
I can tell a little something. the youngest member of the class, so they elected me as permanent class secretary. Bert Glassberg, who died of a coronary in September of 71, was next youngest. And I think Ben Fox, who's still living and is here at this reunion, was the next to Glassberg. But anyway, I have had the job. And it's been my particular obligation that each 5 years that are oftener to working up the program so as to get the attendance, and urge everybody to be at the gym, writing letters at least once a year, probably a couple of times a year, and then for the year previous to the reunion, get about 3 or 4 out, urging attendance and warning them that the date would be such and such a date, to be sure to be there. Result, I've had good contact with members of the class, and of course every once in a while I get a letter back from the wife that the doctor has passed on, and that in itself is the sad part of it, and it's a disappointing area when I get such letters. The gentleman is very pleased with the cooperation and the correspondence I get from members of the class. Tell me about what's going on within the family circle and what their accomplishments have been. You've talked to Dr. Fuller, Beckett Fuller, and gotten some idea what he's accomplished. Catherine Bain, B-A-I-N, gave a talk last night at our reunion dinner. And she was connected to UNICEF and did a great job over these years with it. She told some of its work, and she has done a great deal in the pediatric field, and I think she'd be a good one for you to contact other.
This is a continuation of Oral History number 17 with Dr. Levy. Dr. Levy, do you like to say something about the other members of your class of 1925?
Yeah, I said something about Catherine Bain already. Yeah, in addition, Mr. E.H. Christofferson, who for years was the secretary of the American Pediatric Society, was given an honor award by the AMA for his work with it, but is now in semi-retirement in San Diego. Now, he went out there to retire, but is continuing teaching in the Department of Pediatrics at the University Medical School there, and is doing a lot of writing. And he's done a great deal of work, and we are very proud of him. And there's Bill Hamm in Atlanta, Georgia, who is a plastic surgeon, has been doing a great deal of lecturing and is well known throughout the plastic surgery circles. And he is giving several lectures in Florida at this time, is committed to them, so he couldn't come to the convention. Christofferson is giving a couple of lectures at the same time out in California, and so was unable to come here. George Thompson, I think everyone around here knows, has been at the Mayo Clinic and is one of the pioneers in the transurethral prostatic resection, and is retired, and spends about half his time in Minneapolis and the rest of the time visiting with his children and grandchildren out on the West Coast or in that area. He's done a great deal of writing and is one of the world's authorities in the prostatic surgery. Now, he was unable because of physical reasons to be here at this time, and we miss him. Maxine has been at most of our meetings. Stop. Others, I think, will be interested in the work being done here, and I think that those of the rest of the members of the class that are still living could give us some information on these. Some who are not too well, however, I don't think could be of help at this particular time. This really sums up some of the present knowledge of those who have been active members of the class who have made particular contributions, but I'm sure each and every one has done something, and it'd be worthwhile contacting them.
Thank you very much for this information about other members of the class of 1925. This concludes oral history interview number 17 with Dr. Jerome S. Levy.